This episode is brought to you by AWS. Amazon Q Business is the generative AI assistant that can securely understand your business data, summarize results, and streamline tasks. Learn what Amazon Q Business can do for you at aws.com/learnmore.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in places that could expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity is stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So Dicker for three. And it is good!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Herbert to throw. Pump fakes. And now to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Chargers!
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer and Colorado head coach Deion Sanders. Host of Spike's Car Radio, Spike Ferriston. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Just had a very nice chat with Spike Ferriston back in our green room. He's going to come out. We'll talk some Seinfeld back in the day and all that good stuff. It's a Friday program, so we're having a lot of fun as usual. And I'm very excited to welcome in our next guest when he's situated in front of his camera. We need it framed properly because there's just only one version of this man that I like to see, and it's properly framed up. Getting ready to join us right here in the show is one of my favorite human beings I've ever met, I've ever worked with, I've ever known. He is none other than the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, Deion Sanders. Look at you, Prime.
Humble miss.
How are you, Deion? What's going on, Prime?
Let me tell you something. Yes. Marshall Faulk was just sitting there 2 days ago.
Okay.
We was just talking about you, you know, the impact you had on our lives. And we said, you know what? We used to joke and clown Rich about the podcast because he was one of the first that we ever heard that word. We used to be like, Rick, you got a podcast? Rich, we know you had a podcast. I mean, it was just hilarious. But you, I'm like, Rich was on to this before anybody ever thought about it, man. Mm-hmm. So you are the genesis of the podcast.
Well, man, as you know, I talked about it nonstop because if it wasn't going to be me, then who else was going to do it? And then you started making fun of me, and now, you know.
You're the man. You've been the man forever. And some of my most favorite times of media has been when you and Susie, the beautiful, lovely, adorable wife, Susie,
yes,
would go out. You guys would go on vacation. I would come in to host.
Well,
so I love those moments.
Prime, you interviewed Morgan Freeman here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that actually happened. You know,
that happened.
I had no idea that you were potentially getting yourself ready for Tubi Tuesdays. We Got Time Today.
Yeah.
Roxy Thank Diaz. Come on,
yeah, Mike does a great job. We have a great time. But I love Tubi, and that's how that all started. God always blesses me with the things I love. Like, mm-hmm. I love Tubi, and I view it like crazy. So having a relationship with them to do a talk show, and it's another form of recruiting for me, Rich. Like, if I'm not going to your living room physically,
yes,
I'm going to get there, you know. One way or another, I'm going to get in your living room.
Right, exactly. And again, some folks might be like, well, you know, why is Deion doing that? He's got a football team to run. But, but it is part and parcel, right? Like, it's all part of the puzzle.
It's giving you opportunity to know how I think, how I move, you know, the way we do things live. I mean, I think every coach – and almost every coach in college football, they have a radio show or television show that they're on as well. Mine just happened to be larger.
Part of a conglomerate, as you can see, Brockman's got the blenders on, right? So does TJ. They've got their blenders on right now.
Yo, you're looking good, too. You guys look good.
They got the blenders on. Oh, by the way, I don't know.
Prime time.
I've got my own coffee line, Deion. Here you go. Here, I'll show it to you.
Yep,
it's right there.
Yep,
show it to him. Okay, hold on. That's my coffee
said,
line. It's
I never said, white and bold.
See right there? Yeah. It looks a lot like yours.
But, you know. Oh my God. That is also rich, white, and bold. That, now that right there, that's a viral moment. And guess who just walked in?
Who's that? Sap? Is it Sap?
No, no. Someone who, let me see, someone who steals. Someone who does not return nothing. Someone who's just ridiculous.
And whoop him and fish him.
Yeah.
And,
hey! And,
Travis.
And the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. What's up, Travis Hunter? How are you?
Good. I'm just in here.
Happened to be doing a podcast, and he just happened to come in still.
Congratulations. That is so cool. There you go.
And he has the pajamas.
See, I've got a coffee line. You've got a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, it's all good. Oh, fantastic.
Unbelievable.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
I love that.
Hey, man, I texted you when that kid got the trophy. Because, again, I remember when you started coaching, you know, I remember that the truth, your youth team and all of that. And now you're coach.
You got the Heisman. It's nothing else to get. I keep telling you that.
Well, he's got more, right? There's more to come on that front, you know?
He has endorsement, he has deals, he has some certain stuff now.
I love it.
Enables him to take stuff that he wants.
Where's he going? What's he taking from your office?
Geez, you had to find something. I'm just like, you got everything.
But what was that moment like for you, Prime, when this kid got it?
First of all,
Dion.
It's not like he don't want much. He does not want much. He's not built like that. But he did want this. He wanted to win this Heisman. And it was on his mind. It was in his heart. It was every thought process. And, you know, as a coach, you got to help because that's your kid. Like, okay, yeah, let's put this play in. Let's make sure we go at him. Let's make sure we get the ball. Let's make sure we had a pass. When he scored one of the games, it was a pass that he was going to throw for Shador. I wanted him to score running. I wanted him to score receiving. I wanted him to score in different facets. And it's unbelievable, man. But he loves the game of football. But he wanted this. He wanted that Heisman. So we had to embrace it and embody it.
Well, did you ever tell him that this is what you were going to help do for him? Like when he first came to Jackson State, is this part of the goal in any way, shape, or form?
Part of the goal was just to make him the best that he could possibly be on and off the field and to just give him the be the navigational system of his life to guide him in the right directions. That's it. Travis is not a kid who had to have this type of NIL, this type of collective. He's not built like that, man. He just loves the game. And we try to tell all the kids, we had the two highest earners in NIL, and not collectors, but NIL, because they love the game and they focused on the game, not the bag. And now they're going to get the bag because they focused on the game.
Well, let's talk about the bag here, Prime, because, you know, I want to ask you, I've been dying to ask you this question for a while. The kid who just came in your office and Travis Hunter, do you think he can play both sides of the football in the pros?
Yeah. It's so funny because Shador just left. Like, he literally just left before we turned on the camera.
Oh.
Travis could definitely do that. I mean, he's going to do that, or they shouldn't draft him. Don't do that. And I'm going to make sure of that. Don't draft him. If you're not going to give him an opportunity to play on both sides of the ball. Now, you could be creative. He don't have to do what we did with him here and play every snap, but he's going to just say he's starting the corner. He's going to have to be on your nickel packages or whatever, or spread packages on the offense, because he's going to be probably your best receiver. And you're going to look like an idiot with your best receiver sitting on the bench and you can't get open. You can't get the ball down the field, or vice versa.
So
your best corner on the field, and they're bombing you right now, and he's on the sideline with you.
So when you talk to coaches that are going to be coming for pro days, or coaches that have already, or GMs that have already come through, I saw the Giants brass with you recently.
It's going to be abundantly clear that this is what he wants. This is who he is, and it's not going to work unless you entertain this and give him an assurance of this is what's going to happen. You got to understand, Travis Hunter has another year of eligibility. So if you start the foolishness, he can do that.
Interesting, Prime, because I know you've got plans I know this stuff is stuff you've been talking about. I know you're the guy that once upon a time was famously brought into an interview room at the Combine, asked where they're dribbling, where they're in the draft order, and they were too low for you, and you pirouetted and walked out of the room saying, you can't draft me. See ya. So I know you are thinking about this sort of thing.
So I got to keep the young men's best interest. I mean, when they choose us as a school, as a coach, as a mentor, or whatever they choose you as, you owe them that. I mean, come on, man. This young man helped us become who we are single-handedly. Now he's won the Heisman and during every other award that he should have won, a couple that he should have won, he didn't get. But shouldn't you be there for him? He's been there for you. Shouldn't you be there for him in every facet of life, not just on the field, off the field, and consistently giving him directions and protection as well as correction? So shouldn't you be there for him? It don't stop, you know, when he plays his last game. That love don't stop for me. No, not whatsoever.
What about the plan for Shadur, who could be first overall? What's your plan here, your draft plan?
And he just left. We just talked a little business as well as father-son type stuff. But I just want these guys happy, man. I just want them happy in the right situation to soar. Unfortunately, they're so good that they're going to go to a team that wasn't that good the prior year. But that could all change with an announcement of their names. That can all change quickly.
Do you have a spot that you want Shadur to go to? That you're not.
No.
You don't have one.
You know what his goal is? I just saw it on his podcast because he has a podcast too. I just saw it. Those two, everybody has one, but Rich was first. So let's get this straight. I just saw that his goal was to go before I did. And he's going to eclipse that because I was fifth pick. He's certainly going to be one or two or whatever it's going to be. So that's what he wants. He never told me that, but that's what he wants.
Well, I'm sure that, but I mean, you know, that's why I'm not saying that you would share it publicly, but deep down, you know the teams that could potentially take your son here.
Yeah, it's the Raiders and the Giants. Raiders and the Giants is those two probably.
And
the way the league is going right now, that's where it's going to go.
Okay, and there's no preference for one over the other. One is in the New York market, one is in Las Vegas. You know, there's a lot that can come with one or the other. As well,
true.
Depending on who's the coaches are there too, huh?
Yeah, it's a good lead in, Rich. Rich, you know I know you, right? You know I worked with you well for a decade. You do know.
Am I telegraphing a pass?
But I mean, you do know I know you, Rich.
No, I know,
Rich. You do know I know you. I'm just letting you know I know. I know your rhythm. I know your pace. I know your tempo. Your tone. I know you, man.
So where am I going? Where am I going with this?
I know exactly where you're going, sir.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here, Dion. You know, there's a lot of moving parts here on this front.
I'm in the chair in my office right now. I'm really comfortable. I got a lot of junk in here, a lot of mess, a lot of clothes here. We'll be packed right now for the bowl game.
Well, then what do you say to – listen, I see the kids you're bringing in. I saw the Liberty kid that you brought in. I'm seeing the 4- and 5-star recruits that are coming there. I see the monster that you're building. I see that – you know, a couple of bounces the ball here or there. You've got a bye week in these playoffs. You know, I see that there's a path to all this. There's a reason why Belichick is like, I'll join the ACC. I can see a path to a college football playoff. I see all of that. I see how you love Colorado. I see how that, you know, that it's not too cold for you, but it's cold enough that you can go fishing. Dion, I see all of this. I know you too. I've gone way back like a car seat with you too, Dion. But so how do you respond to people that think that you and your son are a package deal in the professional football ranks? Deion Sanders.
Spoken to anyone about a package deal or anyone about a deal, period. We're trying to work something out here as you speak. I'm not going to lie about that as you speak. And I have one of the best, if not the best, AD in the country in Rick George, and I'm confident, you know, that we're going to get something done.
Okay.
To keep here so that we could bring this wonderful city a national championship. And then I'm looking at the mountains outside so I can put my face on top of that mountain. like that. Yeah. Like, I want to.
Mount Primor.
I want to see a black face on this white snow out there. That's what I want to see.
Let's get my coffee. That's perfect. There you go. That, you know, that's just like the coffee that I've got right here.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
I figured find that funny. By the way, I'm sure it wasn't lost on you that your son's name got chanted in Madison Square Garden. You know?
I saw that. I asked him, do you have anything to do with that? I said, now, you know those same fans will turn on you like a pit bull.
No, you know, I know that. And then I did see him flinging a ball around with Malik Nabers in the street.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, I asked him about that, too. I said, God, you got to stop. I told him you got to stop. But you got to understand.
That's something out of the playbook, man. That's your son has got, he's got it, man.
He's a handsome young man. He's confident in what he does, and they can't wait. He and Travis, they can't wait to play in this bowl game. You know, we flipped that whole thing, Rich. A lot of the guys of that caliber, they don't play in bowl games. We said, no, we're going to finish this. We're going to finish this. Our goal was to go to a bowl and get Miss Peggy to a bowl game, and we're doing it, but we're going to finish it. We're not opting out. We're not tapping out. We're going to finish it. All our seniors, the whole team, we're going to finish it. And that's what we're doing, led by these two young men that are highly talented from the NFL, which is unbelievable. If they could do it, the rest of the country should be able to do it.
I love it. Okay. What else do I want to talk with you about? There's so much going on. Belichick, man. Can you believe this? What if I told you years ago when we're covering all those gajillion Patriots Super Bowls for NFL Network together, that the two of you would be college football head coaches of big time programs at the same time? Right?
Unbelievable. I love it. I love what college football is. I love where it's going. I love the Big 12 and our commissioner, you know, shoot, you know that. I love everything about college football. It should be a couple things, Rich, that should be changed. Let me put this out. I haven't said this before. I was trying to save this for a press conference, but I can give it to you.
Thank you, sir.
Like, this portal thing is going crazy, and everybody's catching up right now. Something that we did a couple years ago. Now everybody want to get in, you know. Yeah. Now it's cool. Huh? But if you take a kid from an FCS school, HBCU school, or that level, you should compensate the school as well. Not just the kid, you should compensate the school, because it's almost like now they're like a farm system for you. And it ain't right, because if a kid is halfway decent, everybody's going to assume they're going to take him. So somebody should be compensated.
Well, see where you're going here. It sounds like, you know, when you take a free agent from another team in the NFL, the team that loses the free agent gets a compensatory draft choice. And, you know, you're coming up with some sort of a system. And I think what you're doing is cutting around the edges of the larger issue, which is who the hell's in charge, Brian? You know, like, who's the governing body to come up with rules that where
– ain't no governing body. Now you're saying that the kids that came from junior college, you know, they could get their time rededicated to them. Like, if they play 1 year in junior college, they get the 1 year back. So now the kid is going to be during their 30 years old, you know, playing against an 18 year old, 17 year old kid. You got to think about these things. I don't mind, because we got a couple kids that play junior college. I can't wait. I pray to God this rule passes so they can get another year. And I got kids playing for me and Jackson calling me right now that want that year back that came from junior college. But it has to be some kind of guidance and parameters and thought process that goes into this. But I just want, for the lower level, I keep saying lower levels, and that's not fair. FCS schools and other schools, if we take the kids, man, they should be compensated.
By who? Do you have any idea by who? Like,
it should be compensated from the school that takes the kid.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right.
You should give something to them. It was like the Negro Leagues back in the day, right? That's why that kind of fell apart. At first, they start really compensating the Negro Leagues for taking the guys. Then they just said, forget it. We ain't paying y'all nothing. And then that's how it fell apart.
Primetime, Deion Sanders here, head coach of Colorado football. All right, so what about, just while you're still in charge of your own scheduling, before that can get it somewhat down the road, you know, more uniform, you want to call Bill? You and Belichick get UNC on the Colorado schedule? Like, that would be...
I don't make those calls. I think these schedules are done years in advance.
Okay. That'll be great, though. You call Bill again.
I love that he's doing his thing. I love it.
You got advice for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't do home visits.
Don't do what?
Don't do home visits.
Why is that your advice for him, Dion?
It's just not going to work. For a guy like that, guy like me, it's not going to work. Because you go to this school, and the school right around the corner goes, well, he didn't come here. He was right over on the corner. He didn't come here. I'm not letting my kid go there. He's too good to come to your school. No, you can't. We get judged differently. I can't see Bill going to 100 different high schools. I just can't see that, man. First of all, I don't call him Bill. I apologize. Coach Belichick.
Yeah, right. No. Hey, Bill, he's a peer, Dion. You've been at this college game more than he has.
No, man, I don't do that. My coaches, I'm from old school, man. I Coach Andrews, I never called him Mickey Andrews in my life. That's Coach Andrews.
Right, from FSU back in the day.
Coach Bowden, you know.
Sure.
These are all my coaches, you know. I'm from the old school. We don't do the first name thing. And my kids here, they know I don't play the first name. I don't do that.
Prime, I miss you. I love you. Before I let you go, last one. I'm going to hit you with this one on the way out the door. You got draft plans? Am I going to see you in Green Bay? What do you think?
No.
You will not be in Green Bay.
Why? Today. Why would I?
I don't know. Your son could go first overall. Travis Hunter could be.
I got two dogs. You don't think I have plans for that? I got a kennel. I got two dogs in a kennel right here.
Okay, so.
You think I'm going to dress up my kennel and let my dogs play? Hey!
Let me just explain to everybody what did I tell you guys a few weeks ago on this show? That Dion would have plans for the draft of his own.
For sure.
Right? So we're not seeing you in Green Breaking Bay, Wisconsin, news. Is what you're saying, bro.
No, you won't see us. No.
Okay.
You don't have to go
even
to
if he's
Rich.
Even if they're assured of hearing his name first, that moment holding the jersey up, there's the stage.
Yeah, but we're good, man. Like, we want to celebrate with our people, with our folks, with our wonderful student body.
Okay. See,
I'm just teasing it a little bit.
I see what you're saying. All right. Hey, listen. Congrats on the Tubi gig. I love seeing you talk. I love seeing you do your thing. I really do. It's really cool.
But you know what I missed?
I saw you had Irv on.
God, that was awesome. That was awesome. But Rich, I miss looking to my right or looking to my left to see the humble host and just to see that smirk, that little smirk that only I knew and he knew what it was about. That little smirk.
Don't touch it.
That is historical. Marshall and I talked about that too. Don't touch it. My God. Oh, Rich, we had so many. Oh, my God.
And people at home had.
You know what? Yeah. You know why I know I'm running over? But that's what makes coaching college football so great, because most people do it the other way. Mm-hmm. God took me around the corner. Like, most people coach, then they run to television, which is wonderful. God took me another way. I had television, then I started coaching. So I get it. I understand it. And I love it. And I miss that humble host, man. Mooch is going to help the combine process with Shador and Cam Ward. He's going to help.
Well, that's great. I Mooch loves you too. Everybody at NFL Network, we miss you every single day, man. And I miss you too. But I'm always here.
Yes.
Dion, great to see you, bud. Take care, man.
Is the dog still kicking, or he going to the holy dog land?
Hudson left us a couple years ago. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Wow. Hudson had a good run.
He did.
Can't be sad.
15
he
years.
Had a good run.
15
and
years.
And he was treated with the most up respect and love and compassion and kisses.
Say, go ahead. No, go ahead and tell the story about us going through security together in airports. Go ahead, Dion. I know you want to tell that story.
I would never do something like that. But Hudson had a good run, man. I'm proud of him. Did you replace him?
Huh? Oh, yes. We've got two beautiful dogs now. Beautiful.
Oh, I knew you.
Halo and Dylan. Yeah, they're both rescues. They're goldens. They're wonderful. They send their best to you. So does Suze.
Amen.
Love you, Prime. Take care. Be well.
White and bold, baby. I like that. White and bold. Only Rich Eisen.
I got my own coffee line right there. Deion Sanders, everybody. There it goes. All right. Let's take a break. Before we bring Spike Ferriston out here. The unexpected can happen at any time. You need to think about things like life insurance in advance, and Ethos makes it easy as 1, 2, 3. Just choose your coverage, apply in minutes, get covered in real time, no medical exam. Just answer a few simple health questions, and you're on your way with up to $2 million of term life protection with policies starting as low as $2 a day. Ethos is approving over 2,000 families a day for life insurance protection, all online and hassle-free. Get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. Spike Ferriston. In studio when we come back. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's talk game time, people, and the holiday season. Game time's all about togetherness. And isn't the holiday season all about that, too? The answer is yes. This means when you bring people together at live events, the experience is that much better, and it's the perfect gift. And Game Time has this new feature called Game Time Picks. It makes getting tickets for live events even easier. I love using Game Time Picks because it filters out all the fluff, shows you only the incredible deals you want on the great seats you need, so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. And then there's that all-in pricing feature I love. You see your total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. The price that they tell you is the price that you're going to buy. It's unbelievable. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Spike Ferriston here. Our radio audience just rejoined us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Spike's Car Radio YouTube channel launched just this month. The show's available, Spike's Car Radio, wherever you get your podcast. Jerry did the first episode with you as well.
Jerry is always he's our Bill Murray. He's really was part of the inspiration for the show. We would go driving in Malibu, and after cruising canyons, we'd stop at the Malibu kitchen on the porch and kind of decompress, have a conversation. And we noticed, like, people were always leaning in, like, what are these guys talking about?
Right.
And it'd be about comedy or the car we just drove. And then somebody actually sat next to us and typed in our conversation and published it in the Malibu paper.
What? Like they eavesdropped?
They were eavesdropping. And I said to Jerry, I go, why don't we just record this and make it a show? Mm-hmm. Because I think people are interested for some reason in what we have to say. And that was really the beginning of the show. So
you started Spike's Car Radio, and did he then go do Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee off
I think
of
he
that
was
as
already,
well?
He was already doing it. I was already doing Car Matchmaker.
Right.
And it just,
I think that's what you came on to promote the last time. So it's been more than seven years since you've been here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And And you know, it just became a fun 1 hour of a week where I'd get together with my friends, whoever's around, and smoke cigars and talk about the cars we have. And suddenly it got traction and manufacturers were dropping off cars for us to drive and review. And I, you know, I'm not an automotive journalist. I'm an enthusiast, but I could talk about what it's like in my life. Does my wife like it?
Right.
Usually not.
Yeah.
Do my kids love it? Yeah, kind of. We dropped me off in school.
Yeah.
And that, you know, apparently is valuable and people want to listen to it. So, you know, here we are now 7 years later and they said, let's go on to YouTube and do a show. And
there you are. And now here you are. Yeah, for sure. And obviously using your Rolodex for Jerry Seinfeld's episode one, Jay Leno's episode two. Not too shabby, Spike.
It's not bad.
You know?
It's not bad. Yeah.
How did you first come across Jerry? Just in the writer's room with Seinfeld or what?
You mean meeting him?
In life, yeah.
They asked me to do a submission for the show that first year. I think I was
for the first year of Seinfeld.
Well, my first year where I knew him, I guess. So I had been writing for Letterman for 5 years, and I heard they were looking for writers here. Someone called me up and said, "Would you do a submission?" I said, "Sure." And a minute later, I'm flying out to L.A. and I met with Larry, not Jerry, at his house.
Yeah,
you know, knocked on the gate. The maid walked me in. I was left in the kitchen, and this little dog walked up, and I went to pet it, and then it urinated all over the place.
No,
and
it did not.
Larry walked in right at that moment.
What did you pet the dog for?
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Spike. I was already in a bad place, and I pitched him these ideas. And he said, "Yeah, okay, good. All right, well, we'll let you know." And flew back to New York, and didn't get the job. They only had one spot that year, and they had your friend Jeff Schaefer.
Got it.
Jeff Schaefer and Alec Berg got that gig, and I thought the whole thing was over. And maybe about 6 months later, Jerry was on the show on Letterman, and Dave's office is on the 14th floor, and we were on the 12th, and it was a bad week. It was a Friday, and it was just in a bad mood, and I get in the elevator, and who's there but Jerry and Mary Connolly, the segment producer. And I turn around and face away from them. And I know in my mind, like, these guys have been talking for 2 weeks. They've run out of things to say. And Mary's going to introduce me. And I don't want to talk to Jerry Seinfeld. That's the guy who didn't give me that job. And sure enough, sixth floor. "Hey, by the way, this is one of our writers, Spike Ferriston." "Oh, Spike, didn't you do a submission for us?" And I go, yeah, I did a few months back. He goes, "How did that go?" And I go, "Shouldn't you know that?" And I couldn't stop it from coming out of my mouth because I was so tired. And he just went like that. And then the door opened and I just ran.
Oh,
I just ran out of there.
And you thought there's no...
I'm dead.
You're dead.
I'm done in show business.
You're finished.
I'm finished.
Jerry's going to stomp you out, man.
Bad Friday. I'm surprised I made it to Monday. I'm surprised I actually came to work.
Shouldn't you know that?
He should have known that.
Right?
He should have known that.
Truth is your defense, Spike Ferriston.
I don't remember. A lot of stuff going on, Spike. But 6 months later, I had moved out to L.A. I'd left Letterman and didn't have a job. And I got the same call. And I said, "Do you want to come by?" And I went over to Larry's house again with a new page of ideas. I didn't pet the dog. And Larry said, "Hey, we're going to hire you. I like your stuff. We're going to bring you on." And there it is.
Wow.
And years later, years later,
yeah.
I asked Jerry, do you remember that elevator thing? He goes, "No, I don't remember it."
Which is great.
You said that? I go, "Yeah, I said that. And you've been living rent-free in my head ever since that moment. But I'm glad we're cool."
That is amazing, Spike. What a story. I love that. I've got a few Seinfeld episodes that you were an integral part of, and I would like to ask you.
Sure.
Spike Ferriston here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody, again, check out Spike's Car Radio on the new YouTube channel as well, or wherever you get your podcasts, starting with the Soup Nazi episode.
There's a lot that's been covered about this episode,
I understand,
Rich.
It was.
I hope you've got something new here.
No, I just want to know. I mean,
what would you like to know?
Well, there was a Soup Nazi that actually existed, correct,
yes,
in New York City. But you are not familiar with this. Did you have to be brought up to speed to who this person was, or you were familiar with the
Soup
Nazi?
No, I was very familiar with him. It was when I was writing on Letterman. That's where I got lunch in the winter.
So you are the genesis of the Soup Nazi character?
I am, yeah, of the story. I had, in the very first pitch session with Jerry and Larry,
yes,
the writers who were helping me, Tom Gamble and Max Prost, said,
yes,
if you make them laugh in this meeting, you're going to know you sold a story. Even
yes,
though I was on staff, that's what they called it, right?
Yes.
And I pitched 10 ideas, no laughs. And I started getting a little flop sweaty, you know? And Larry said, well, you know, what else is going on in New York? And I said, there's this weird guy who sells soup they call the soup Nazi. And they start laughing really hard. They go, what do you mean? They go, well, if you don't order the soup right, he takes the soup away and he gives your money back and he takes the soup away. They go, what? And I go, yeah, and everybody in line kind of turns away from you. And they were like, there's your episode. That's your first episode. And most of that episode are little vignettes of what really happened to me in real life. You know, when Elaine says you kind of look like Al Pacino. There was a woman behind me who, in front of me actually, who said that to him and didn't get her soup. Said, you know, you kind of look like Al Pacino. And he went, not like the TV character, he went, F you. Get the F out of here. Screamed at her.
So the real soup Nazi would curse you out and get and
Al Yegana. Wow. I think it's his name, right?
Okay.
Is that the real soup Nazi? So he was, this guy only opened up in the winter months, in the fall months. He would, in the summer, tour the world looking for new soups to bring to the corner of 55th and 8th.
Hey, he's a professional.
And all he asks is that you order soup the way he wants you to do it. And the writer who brought me in, this guy Dave, he said, look, if you don't do this right, you're going to get yelled at. And I said, look, I know how to order soup, all right? You give the guy money and you get the soup. He goes, not like this. And I'm George in that very first scene with George and Jerry. I got yelled at and they didn't give me the soup and they took my money away. They gave me my money back. So that, you know, all of that is kind of real. I always say it's more of a documentary than it is a piece of kind of, you know, written comedy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
My God. Let's move on now to The Little Kicks, season 8, episode 4. This is the famous Elaine dancing episode. What's the genesis of that?
That was a boss I had in New York who I found very intimidating because I was on a production staff, uh-huh. You know, a legendary guy. And until one night I saw him dance and I thought, oh, he's human, just like the rest of us. And I was no longer intimidated. And it was, you know, I pitched that right after I pitched the Soup Nazi that first season. And we just couldn't figure out the story. But when Elaine became a boss, we knew we had it. Like, if we could just get Elaine onto a dance floor and screw it up, there it is. Yeah, the Elaine dance.
And was this her interpretation of the dance that you were explaining that you've seen, or this was just her own idea?
I described to Julia this little kicks dance that I had witnessed. And then she said, I got it. I'm going to take it from there. And she went home and she worked on it. She came in and added the fingers and the thumbs. And, you know, that's what was great about this cast is you could put a little bit of kindling into their heads, and it would suddenly become a bonfire. These actors that we had on that show, they were tremendous.
And who came up with the choice of song for it?
I did. I picked it. A song I don't think I could pick now because I don't think I could get the rights to it, but that was a time where you could just pick any song and just put it in the show, and we'd get a license for it, and it would be fine.
But you're just a fan of the song?
You're in an edit room, and you're playing songs. You know, it's the same thing we do right now. It just sounds right and makes you laugh, and you go, there it is.
Have you been at a party where that song is played and somebody does the Elaine dance?
No.
I have, by the way.
The Brooklyn Cyclones have an Elaine dance every summer. I was supposed to be there and judge it this year. And then I screwed up my schedule and couldn't get there. And then Jerry called. He said, I think I'm going to do it. I think Larry's coming, too. No, I think this is all next year. In fact, I probably shouldn't even be talking about it.
Okay,
but we love the Brooklyn. Is it the Brooklyn Cyclones? Is that who it is?
The New York
Mets minor league team.
Minor
They've been having this Seinfeld night. It's grown into something huge. And it's, you know, for me, it was just like, this will be great to interact with fans. But if Jerry and Larry are going to go, it's their show. You know, I'll just tag along
to
watch.
It'd be fantastic. And by the way, I'm sure it's called that not because, you know, there are cyclones in Brooklyn. It's the roller coaster name in Coney Island.
Yeah,
so that makes sense.
I hope I have the name right.
A couple more of the muffin tops. Top of the muffin to you.
Yes.
Is that based on a muffin store you went to?
That's a last minute story that jumped in because I had written a story that Frasier did the same night where Frasier or somebody in the cast was listening on a police scanner to their neighbor's wireless phone calls. And I had written the same story for Kramer. You know, you can see him doing that with his little police scanner, listening to everybody in the building's phone calls. So we pulled that story out and we were sitting there going, well, what are we going to put in? We've got to read something tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've literally got to read a story. So we got to pull that thread right out of the whole script. After meeting with for maybe an hour or so, we had nothing. And then I went, I had this girlfriend who only ate the top of muffins. And Jerry starts, and he goes, what? And then, we're laughing, and we have something. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, she would pop the top, get rid of the stump. She always thought she could have a business. She's a very successful clothing designer, but she was going to get out of designing for, I think it was Liz Claiborne, some designer, yeah, and open up a muffin top shop. And that really entertained everybody. And the story, started. And then we were like, oh, huh. And there was also this undercurrent of, with the Harvard guys in particular on the staff, that sometimes you would pitch a story and 3 months later they would pitch a story that's similar and they would get approved, mm-hmm, and you'd go, huh, I'm not sure if it had anything to do with Harvard, but there was these ideas are in the air. They're always around. So we kind of put those things together. We had Elaine's boss take her idea and then do the idea. The muffin top was one piece of it, but really beneath it, it was really about that creative process when you have an idea, you voiced it to the room, and suddenly there it is again. Somebody else is getting credit for it, right?
And I just love the process of it, right? How you're in a room,
yeah,
you got nothing, you,
yeah,
keep on throwing stuff out there, and that's the story idea. And then what was it, how long did it take for you to come up with top of the muffin to you?
That night. We had to get the whole thing done that quickly.
Yeah,
but that's what's fantastic about Jerry. Is like he's so confident when he finds comedy things, like he's a prospector and he unearths that piece of gold.
The science of it. Yes, he was talking about that.
Yeah, I get really lost and his confidence just carries you through it. He's like, no, that's it. It's going to work. It's great when you work with him, because he's just, Larry's the same way. They're like, no, we got it. That's it. Let's just ride this train home.
Yeah. He told the story of the famous soliloquy of the sea was angry, my friend.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
They came up with that, had
yeah,
to come
yeah.
up with it overnight because they
yeah.
connected the marine biologist
yeah,
storyline
yeah.
with the Titleist and Kramer hitting golf balls at the beach. They didn't
yeah.
know how to connect it. They connect it. They write the soliloquy.
It's true.
Jason Alexander learns it overnight, and it's the stuff of television legend.
Whenever I was kind of a doubting Thomas on the staff when things got too broad, I'd go, that's too broad. Jerry would always say, we hit a golf ball into the blowhole of a whale, Spike, and nobody shut down the show. We're doing it.
Oh my God.
He always holds that up.
Another one, last one for you, the junk mail episode.
Yes. I love that episode.
What do you love about that one?
Well, because it really happened to me. I put a waste paper basket by my front door in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and if I was home and the mailman came, I would take it and look him in the eyes and put it in the trash and go, this has to stop.
The number of magazines that you did not
all of it
get.
I go all
purposely.
Of it. I can auto pay everything, my bills. I can just stop bringing me paper that I'm putting in. Look at this full waste paper basket. And the mailman said, he goes, you can't stop this. I go, I'm sure I can. He goes, you won't be able to stop it. There's nothing we can do. And I think it was Pottery Barn, and they're 3 times a week I was getting just waste of paper. And like, I'm not even the biggest environmentalist at all, but even I was just like, oh, and they go, good luck. And the mail was very confrontational. He's like, you can't stop it. I'm just going to keep putting it here. So that, like many of the episodes I wrote, they were little small acts of revenge. Small acts of revenge against the post office.
And the fact that Kramer was he was the avatar for your crusade here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
and that the Postmaster General comes to sit yeah. him down, and it's Wilford Brimley. How did
yes.
that come about with Wilford Brimley? Did you write it thinking Wilford Brimley?
No, not at all. No, not at all. But we knew we wanted someone that would scare him, and we knew Wilford Brimley kind of scared us a little bit, so we knew he would be good. And one of the first days we walked on set, and we imagined this line, like, I'm not only the vice president of the post, I'm also a general, and a general's job to get things done. And I think that might have had a double exclamation point in it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a single, knowing Jerry. And we said to Mr. Brimley, you know, everything's great. You're amazing. This is going really well. But that line, it's got, we'd love you to just yell it at him. And he goes, let me tell you a story. Whenever I see exclamation points, I get quiet like this. And the more quiet I get, the more threatening it is. And we went, Okay. No problem. Mr. Brindley. He was good. He was good. He scared us in that moment. Like, that was the first, like, real actor that had hit our stage. And we were like, we are out of our league here.
Oh, my God. When you control the mail, you control the information.
That's right. Fantastic. Brimley. Fantastic.
Oh, my God. Spike, this is just a total blast, man. I appreciate you coming on. I could go, I truly go on and on and on. Next time you're around and you want to hang out.
Anytime. I
love
it.
I'd love to do this. This is so much fun. Spike's Car Radio, again, now available on Spike's Car Radio YouTube channel, launched just last month. First two episodes with Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno. Special Festivus episode coming up next Monday.
And a Christmas episode with Max Greenfield.
Why not?
Of the neighborhood.
We've got Max coming on next month.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
We'll talk with him about that as well. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having
Spike
me.
Spike Ferriston, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Exclamation points mean you get quiet.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. There's nothing sweeter than baking cookies during the holidays. With Prime, I get all my ingredients delivered right to my door, fast and free, no last-minute store trips needed. And of course, I blast my favorite holiday playlist on Amazon Music. It's the ultimate soundtrack for creating unforgettable memories. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
You are the commissioner of baseball. I make you commissioner of baseball right here, right now, to start off. What do you do?
Nothing that anyone would like.
But why would you say that?
Because they're not going to like my ideas. Instant replay's over.
Why?
Who cares?
Because if you see it at home, you need to use it, right?
Why do we have a balls and strike umpire? We don't need that. We can easily do that with GPS. Why is he there?
Okay.
Why is he there? Why not get rid of him then?
That might actually happen.
And then what do you have?
A robot, I guess? Or
yeah. There's a value to charm, my friend. There is a value to it that we sometimes ignore.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So, replay's gone. Ouch.
Replay's gone. I do kind of like replay, but it bothers me.
See?
The designated hitter is gone.
So, why? Well, I mean...
Because that's not baseball. One of the great... principles of baseball's democracy of talent and physique. This is what makes baseball very special.
Right.
Democracy of talent and physique. Everybody plays it.
Okay.
Everybody.
Right.
The little shortstop, the slugging left fielder.
Uh-huh.
They're all, everyone's welcome.
Right.
It's democracy.
What do you think of just the intentional walk, like just you go to first now?
No, don't like that either.
Why?
It's fine. How much time are you saving?
About 10 seconds. I mean, it's 10 seconds we can all save.
It's like when someone texts you the letter K instead of OK. What are you doing with that time?
Or thanks.
Are you going to add that up and so you can watch an 11-minute YouTube video of a skateboarder bouncing his nuts off a railing? Is that what we're doing? Someone's texting me TY instead of thank you. TY. I'd like to bounce your nuts off a railing.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's get to my top five list. My top five rest of the intriguing matchups of the week. Hit it, please. Got my top five. Give me some music there, Jay Felly. Give me some music. Here we go. Ready to roll? Here we go in 3, 2, and 1. Here we go. Number 5 on the list. Yeah, they're a 2-win team, but they're taking on the most intriguing rookie start I can remember in maybe my 20-some-odd years of the
NFL. Oh, you're doing it. NFL.
How is Michael Penix's first start for the Falcons not one of the most intriguing games for the rest of the weekend? Honestly.
You're right.
I can't wait to see it. I will be planted to see what this kid looks like. So there's that. Number 4 on the list, the Minnesota Vikings go to Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks, coming off of that loss, coughed up their destiny control of the division. The Rams are in New York. The Seahawks will know if the Rams lost the trap game or not. And then the Vikings coming in into Seattle. This is as tough a place as you can to go, as we all know. And they're still trying to track down the Lions. I can't wait to see this one. Number 3 on the list, Saturday, Texans Chiefs. Coming into the season, everyone identified the Texans as the team in the AFC that could knock off the Chiefs more than anyone else. We'll see. Can't wait to see that one. Number 2, the Eagles and Commanders. If the Commanders win this game, they will essentially wrap up a playoff spot. There's still miles to go. They would also put a card on the table as significant as any card they put on the table by beating the Eagles. They would do the Lions and maybe the Vikings a massive favor as well. If the Eagles and if the Eagles win this game, then the Eagles would wrap up the East and open up, if Penix wins, the Sunday nighter between the Falcons and the Commanders in week 17 is a playoff possible game. Number 1 is Steelers-Ravens. Ravens and Steelers. Ravens need to win this game in order to stay alive in the division. If the Steelers win it, they would win the division. Period, end of story. I can't wait to see it. It is such a great rivalry game. It is all kinds of awesome.
You think we need one more?
I'll give you one more.
All right, we'll get one more.
Let me just say if I can do this.
Patriots-Bills?
Hold on a minute. Rocky Top, you'll always be sweet. Home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee. You know, I've had years of cramped up city life, trapped like a duck in a pen. All I know is it's a pity life. Can't be simple again. Rocky Top. Plant the flag. Plant it. Plant it.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.